Before we dive into today's episode, I want to tell you about a free three-act worksheet to help you structure your story. Whether you're a plotter or a pantser, a novelist or short fiction writer, this three-act worksheet will help you navigate your material and even begin each new story with a better plan. Download yours at nancypannuccio.com/act. Stop getting stuck in the middle of your draft. Go grab this free worksheet, nancypannuccio.com/act. Writing what a character feels doesn't make readers feel it too. For example, telling us a character is curled up sobbing because his wife dies doesn't make the reader feel the grief too. It's what we'd expect. Writer Unleashed is for you, a writer who has a story you want to bring onto the page and into the hearts and minds of readers. I'm Nancy Pannuccio, writer, editor, and writing coach. And each week, we'll explore techniques, mindsets, and inspiration for writing stories readers can't put down. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let's begin. A couple of weeks ago, I watched the series One Day. It's one of the most gut-wrenching stories I've ever watched. I can't even think of the story without bursting into tears. It's that moving. So I immediately bought the novel, which I had never heard of before. The novel is what they based the series on. And in many ways, it has more depth because a book can do that. We can enter a character's inner life, whereas with film, we can intuit that inner life, but it's largely from what can be observed. The actor is bringing all that to the surface, but as a viewer, we can only see what can be observed externally. In a novel, we're moving into the character's inner life. The actors must have relied on the novel to dig into what their characters were thinking, feeling, in order to bring the multiplicity of emotions into each scene. So the novel, no doubt, must have been great source material for the actors, screenwriters, and directors. But here's where I'm going with all of this. The series gut-wrenched me in a way that I did not expect. And as with any story that moves me to that extent, I was interested to find out how they did it. So I bought the novel and I read it in two or three sittings and I was riveted. I could not put it down. And I read certain sections over and over to see how the author had me so emotionally invested in what happens to these characters who are, on the surface, nothing like me. So when readers are moved by your story, they feel something themselves. They go on an emotional journey of their own, and the story stays with them. When a story truly moves us, it's not because of beautiful writing or a strong voice. It's not because of what happens on the plot level. I mean, all these things are important, certainly. We want strong, beautiful sentences. We want a strong voice. We want events to move us forward and to be heading somewhere. But those things on their own don't move us emotionally. Plot on its own doesn't move us. Beautiful sentences on their own don't move us. What makes a story unputdownable and unforgettable is that the reader goes on an emotional journey of his or her own. They don't just feel for your characters, they feel with your characters. Now, readers know intellectually that the story isn't real, that it's not happening to them, but their primal response, the primitive limbic part of their brain, doesn't know the difference. And that's where we want to meet our readers. It's beyond intellect. They can understand big emotions like love, sadness, envy, joy, etc., but they can't feel it unless you use the tools available to you to allow them to feel it for themselves. You know, the reason one day is being talked about all over social is because it stays with you. It doesn't let you go, even weeks later. What makes a book stay with readers is that they can't stop thinking about it because they become part of the story. The reader wants to feel something when they come to your pages. They want to be moved to laughter or tears, suspense, joy, excitement, disappointment, despair, or victory. Now, last week in episode 180, we talked about showing and telling. When showing has an impact, it's because the action is imbued with feelings. So in this episode, I want to share three techniques to master emotions in your story so you can move readers in a way that stays with them long after they finish your pages, a story they can't stop thinking and talking about. So let's get right to it. Technique number one, think big, write small. One of the most common ways writers fail to move their readers is that they focus on the big emotions, the feelings that they feel obligated to write, because everyone feels them. Anger, grief, love, sadness, joy, victory, failure, happiness. But you can't force readers to feel those large emotions. Just because a character is sobbing into his pillow doesn't mean the reader will also sob. So how do we move the reader with those bigger, more intense emotions? Well, the best way to express them is to get at them aslant, to actually pull back, to use restraint. Instead, you want to focus on small details that can be containers for the emotion. So small details, small moments. Those are the things we remember most. It's never the grand events in life we look back on most fondly. It's really those small, simple moments that have the biggest emotional charge, and those small, simple details. So small details, small moments. For example, in John Cheever's short story, The Cure, the narrator's wife has left him for the second time, and she's taken their three children with her. Now he's devastated. He misses his wife. He certainly misses his kids. He's feeling loss. But it's all captured in the tiniest details. For example, towards the end, it reads, "As soon as I stepped into the living room, I noticed on the wall some dirty handprints that had been made by the children before they went away. They were near the baseboard, and I had to get down on my knees to kiss them." I had to get down on my knees to kiss them. So it really is the small things that break our hearts. And this is a much more effective and powerful way to show what he's living through. I remember a story, and I don't remember the title of the story or who wrote it, but it was about a man whose wife had died. And the last thing she said to him before she died was, "I baked you a cake." So every night he has one slice of the cake. And at the end, he's on his final slice. So his grief is tracked through the eating of the cake. We don't need to see him sob and grieve. The action of eating the cake is imbued with that grief. We feel it because the author isn't using overt expressions of grief and chasing us into the corner with it. So the eating of the cake, each night, one slice, works because the emotions are already there to begin with. So small moments, small details. When people grieve a loss, if there's a death, a breakup, something that provokes a primary feeling, they don't remember the big moments as much as the small, ordinary moments. So if you're direct about how a character feels, paradoxically, the reader will feel nothing. So big, intense emotions like sadness, grief, love, anger, pull back. Instead, look for the small details that capture those emotions. Think big, write small. Okay, on to number two. Play against readers' expectations. You want to surprise us. Big emotions often fall flat on the page because those feelings are familiar. They're what we'd expect. Writing what a character feels doesn't make readers feel it too. For example, telling us a character is curled up sobbing because his wife dies doesn't make the reader feel the grief too. It's what we'd expect. We don't need to see characters sob in order to know they're in pain. We don't need them to make grand gestures or to look at each other longingly to show that they're in love. What moves readers are feelings they don't expect. At the same time, they need to feel real and true to the character. Otherwise, they won't believe it. They won't feel it. So how do you create emotional surprise? How do you play against feelings the readers would expect while making it feel true and believable? Well, skilled writers go several emotional layers deep. That's what surprises readers. It's what draws them in. We all have surface emotions, and then we have emotions underneath. We're never just feeling one emotion. That's how actors do their craft. They're never just playing one emotion. They're going several layers deep. As writers, we need to do the same. We can't have one note emotions: sadness, love, jealousy, anger, etc. Now, in last week's episode, we talked about showing and telling. Showing works when there's a multiplicity of emotions embedded into a scene. People are complex and contradictory. And our feelings are dynamic. In any given moment, our feelings can shift, change, they can even reverse. We never are feeling just one thing. Grief on its own is intertwined with regret, memories of small moments, self-blame, lost opportunities, feelings of, if only I'd done that or said that. Grief is complicated and intertwined with more than just sadness and tears. When we're angry, there's always something underneath. It's never straight up anger. It's originating from something deeper. It might be fear or disappointment. So you have to dig beneath the surface emotion and explore several layers deep. Emotional texture. It's what moves the reader to tap into their own emotional reservoir. We have emotions that we try to suppress, minimize, hide, and deny. We deny them for our own emotional safety. We hide them from others and even from ourselves. We often try to suppress or avoid our own emotions. And when you bring this to the page, that's what moves readers. It's not the expected one-note emotion, and it feels more true because it reminds us of ourselves. Years ago, I was at a book festival in Woodstock, New York, and André Dubus III was one of the panelists, and he said something that stuck with me, something to the effect that when a reader comes to your book, what they're saying is, show me me. Now, they're not consciously yearning for this, but that's what we are ultimately reading for, connection. We never connect to characters who have one-note emotions or one-note responses. We connect with characters who remind us of our own emotional complexity. we turn to stories for catharsis and because we essentially feel alone or isolated. So stories make us feel less alone because the characters are showing us the range of feelings that we all feel, thoughts that we all secretly have. Okay, on to number three. Use setting as a reflective element. Now, often writers will add some detail to their setting. It might be rain or birds chirping. It might be sunny or cold or hot, but those details aren't connected to the character's state of mind in the scene or in this particular moment of the story. You never want to include a setting detail just for the sake of atmosphere. It needs to be made use of or not mentioned at all. I mean, rain is just rain, right? It's impartial. But rain on your rooftop could be soothing if it's a Sunday morning, but if it's your wedding day, rain pounding on the rooftop will have a totally different connotation and a different feeling attached to it. In One Day, for example, rain is symbolic. It's a metaphor. There's folklore attached to it, to a particular day of the year. Now, it's only mentioned a few times throughout, but when it does rain, there's emotional and metaphoric significance attached to it. In the memoir From Scratch, another gut-wrenching story that I personally can't forget, rain is used to link to a particular memory from years ago. There's a scene in Italy where Tembi has made arrangements for Saro to meet her, and because he can't ring the bell late at night, she promised to be looking out her window for him so she could let him in. He works in a restaurant, so he's expected to come late. So it starts raining, and she falls asleep. She wakes up and she thinks he must have left by now, but she runs to the window and there he is waiting in the rain. And then when we're with her towards the end on her husband's deathbed, it's raining and she goes into the kitchen to get him some ice chips because his lips are dry. And when she comes back, one of the last things she says to him is, "You waited for me." Now, it has a double meaning. He waited for her to come back before he passed away, but he also waited for her in the rain years and years ago. So the rain is not just rain, it's loaded. So don't use any setting details for the sake of just supplying an atmosphere. Don't make it just decorative. It has to be revealing something deeper. So what does your point of view character notice and why do they notice it? What emotional significance does that small detail have? And if the character isn't consciously aware of its significance, the reader should be. For example, Dexter from One Day in the opening scene, he hears blackbirds at dawn and he tells Emma that he loves the sound. And she replies she hates it because it makes her feel anxious, like she's done something she'll regret. And he says, "That's why I love it." But much later in the novel, he hears them again after a night of heavy partying. And this time when he hears the blackbirds at dawn, he doesn't like the sound. Now it's associated with shame and regret. So it has a very different meaning at this point in the story. It's only mentioned twice, but it's not just decorative. It says something essential about what the character is feeling. It's a receptacle for something larger, and it's also used to track the character's change. So it means one thing early in the story and an entirely different thing later on. So no gratuitous setting details. If there are monsoons or hurricanes, use it as a way to reveal, chart, and track those larger emotional shifts. Okay, so let's recap. To get the greatest emotional payoff from your story, number one, think big, write small. Number two, surprise us, play against our expectations. And number three, pick out one detail from your setting and use it as a reflective element. And here's a bonus tip. Use your emotions to reach ours. And then write from that place. Use your emotions to ignite ours. We don't just want to feel for characters. We want to feel with your characters. The most moving stories are those in which the reader goes on an emotional journey of their own. It's personal. Treat plot events as emotional opportunities. The screenwriter Peter Dunne calls them emotional footprints. So take your protagonist and think of how they come into your story and how they leave. Who are they at the beginning and who are they at the end? Is there change? There should be. How do the story events change your character, not just externally, but internally? So there you have it. Thanks for hanging out with me today. And if you know any writers who need some support in their writing, please share this episode or the Writer Unleashed podcast in general. And if you love what you're listening to, subscribe on your favorite listening platform and please leave me a review. Reading how this podcast impacts your writing truly lights me up and helps me create topics for the show. Till next time, keep writing, and I'll talk to you soon.